You know, these past weeks, we've been talking about our purpose, right? These past few weeks, we've been talking about our calling. We've been talking about our assignment. And how do we know what our assignment is? Amen. You guys been here? If y'all missed it, if you haven't, please go back and listen to them because it's very important. And then last week, I talked about the wisdom of God. Y'all remember that? I talked about the wisdom of God. The word of God is the wisdom of God. And if you want the wisdom of God, come on. I'm sorry, they didn't hear you. What'd you say? Preachers, man, y'all are all preaching this morning. The word of God is the wisdom of God. If you want the wisdom of God, you got to get into the word of God. Amen? Amen. And we serve a God who still speaks to us. We serve a God who still speaks to us. He is the one that thought of a mouth. He's the one that thought of a tongue. He's the one that thought of a voice box. Come on, y'all. We serve a God who still speaks to us, and he still wants to speak to us today. Our God still has a voice. Amen. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning is, everybody say the voice of God. I'm going to talk to you about that this morning, but I got something else I want to tell you real quick. I'm going to talk about the voice of God today, but guess what's going to happen next week? Oh, yeah. Pastor Dustin's bringing the word next Sunday. Woo! Look at, he's so mad at me right now. he's so mad at me. Pack this house out. Bring all your friends and your neighbors. Come on. Pastor Dustin's bringing the word. I'm going to sing. We've been talking about our calling and our assignment. I promise you that ain't mine. I promise you, Michael, it ain't mine. Listen, you want to see humility? You want to see a beautiful picture of humility? Everybody look at that man right there for me. Everybody look at that man right there. That's him. That's him. I love you. Come on. Amen. Let's go. Y'all ready? Y'all ready to get the word of God? Everybody say the voice of God. The voice of God. Take a look at this scripture right here in John 1:23. John 1:23, John said, I am the voice of one. Notice the wording that he says there. He says, I am the voice of one crying. He didn't say, I am the voice. He didn't say, I am the voice crying out in the wilderness. He said, I am the voice of one. Notice the wording. He wasn't the voice, but he was the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Why? Why? Because the one he's preaching for has a voice. Come on, somebody. Because the one he's preaching for has a voice. And he's saying, I'm his voice. Repent. Come on. Repent. That's what he said. Amen. I am the voice of one. I'm speaking for Jesus. Amen. I'm the voice of one calling out in the wilderness. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. Look at John 1:1. Perhaps this is the most astonishing description of Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on. Right on. Because there's a lot of descriptions in your Bible about who Jesus is. To me, this is one of the most astonishing descriptions of Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. Listen to this. Notice the verbiage of this. Look at what he's saying. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Come on, somebody. The Word then became flesh and dwelt among us. Notice the description of what Jesus was before he took on bodily form. He was the Word. Everybody say the Word. Everybody say the word. Okay. Why? Because God is a communicator. God is a speaker. God is a communicator. He loves to speak. He has a voice. He even calls his son his word. Thank you. Somebody's paying attention. He loves to speak. He even calls his son his word. And then he wrapped his word in flesh and his word dwelt among us. Amen. God is a speaking God. His word dwelt among us full of grace and truth. He is a speaking God. Even in the upper room, listen to me, on the day of Pentecost, they spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Why? What is that about? It's again, God confirming I speak. God confirming I can talk through you. God's confirming as the Spirit gave utterance that he has a voice. Come on, somebody. By the time this is over, y'all all gonna be clapping because God's gonna be talking to every one of you. Come on. As the Spirit gave him utterance, God still has a voice. God's confirming that he wants to communicate with you. Everybody say the voice of God. I see usually two extremes when it comes to people hearing the voice of God. Amen. I usually see two extremes. You have one on one hand who pray and they don't ever really like expect or take the time to really, you know, like listen to God when they're praying. They just go pray and they talk. And they do all the talking and they really have no expectation of God really even answering their prayers, of God really even speaking to them in any significant way. I was that guy. I would just talk. If y'all didn't know that about me, I'm sorry. They pray and they talk, and they never expect God to move. They never expect God to speak. They really don't even expect God to answer their prayers. And then there's the other extreme of people who say they hear God all the time. Come on. Y'all, you don't know what I'm talking about. They hear God all the time. God tells them where to buy their gas. God tells them, come on. God tells them where what kind of fast food to eat. Don't eat McDonald's. Eat Taco Bell. God told me to. I think he. Listen, let me tell you something. I doubt God is telling you what fast food to eat. You need to let your weight tell you that. Amen, church. I said you need to let your weight tell you that. God is not telling you what fast food to eat. You think that. Why would God waste his words on stuff like that? You have people that every little thought that comes in their head, like, well, the Lord told me. God talks more than I do. Come on now. But you have these extremes. Listen, God is not going to waste his words on those kind of things. But if he's going to speak to us, he wants us to believe it. He wants us to hear it. He wants us to lean in. He wants us to listen. Can I tell you something? Usually if you have a speaking problem, it's because you got a hearing problem. If you got a speaking problem, it's usually because you got a hearing problem and you can't speak clearly because you don't know how to listen. You can't hear right, so it makes you where you can't speak right. Amen. Come on. Most people, and I'm not picking on nobody, most people that have a speaking problem, they got a hearing problem. Amen. Amen. People who can't talk plainly can't hear plainly. And you need to focus more on what God has to say than what you have to say. Come on, I'm preaching to myself right now. I'm preaching to myself. You need to focus on more of what God has to say than more of what you have to say. Revelation 2:7 does not say, he who has a mouth, let him talk. Revelation 2:7 says, he who has an ear, let him hear. Oh, thank you for that rousing applause. It don't say, he who has a mouth, let him talk. Talk. It says, he who has an ear, come on, somebody, let him hear what the Spirit says. That's what it says. It says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit's saying. Come on. Let him hear what the Spirit's saying. What does his voice sound like, Pastor? What is his voice like? The Bible puts it like this. It says you have an inner ear. Circumcised ear is what some translations call it. A circumcised ear, and that inner ear, that inner voice that'll always agree with the word of God. Come on. It'll always tell you to do the right thing. It will always tell you to do the right thing. So if there's a line, come on now, and you know it ain't right, I promise you God ain't telling you to do it. It will always tell you to do the right thing. Watch this. Watch this. There's an inner voice. Like I said, it's the circumcised ear is what the scripture calls it. And it's almost like God puts a GPS inside of us as believers. Amen. All we got to do is learn to listen to it. Amen. The thing about those navigational systems and those GPS things, they speak to you when you first start off and go. Come on. But then they go silent. You know what I'm talking about? That you go, you're on a long trip, and I hate it when you're and they don't say nothing, and you're going for hours and hours, and you're looking, you've done take some twists and some turns, and the next thing you know, you're like, man, am I still on the right path? Am I still going the right way? I need you, GPS, to confirm to me that I'm going. Can I tell you, but God seldom repeats himself. Do you know that? God seldom repeats himself. I want you to listen to me very carefully. God will give you the direction, but he seldom repeats himself. Sometimes God will go silent on you. Who am I talking to? Sometimes God will go silent on you. You're like, where are you at, God? He'll go silent on you, but that's okay. Because if you miss your turn, can I tell y'all how many turns I've missed because my GPS thinks I know how far 300 feet is? Turning 300 feet, and I'm like, phew. I'm like, I don't. Never mind. Listen to me. God will go silent, and you will be on this journey, and he will be silent all the way. But it's okay, because if you miss it, God will tell you to turn around. And right before you turn, the voice will come back. Amen. Come on now. And we've got to grow sensitive to that voice. He that has an ear, let him hear. That's what the Bible says. We have to grow sensitive to that voice. Amen. We've got to grow sensitive. We got to hear what the Spirit's saying. So, y'all ready? God one day, he comes to Abraham in Genesis chapter 22. He comes to Abraham in Genesis chapter 22. And in verse 2, he tells him, he says, Abraham, I want you to take with your son, your only son, Isaac, I want you to take your only son. Such a hint of Jesus, isn't it? You take your only son, beautiful picture of Jesus, your only son whom you love, and he said, I want you to take him to the mountain, which I'll tell you. Amen? You take your son whom you love, your only son, and you take him to the mountain, and I'll tell you where to go. Now, I'm giving you direction, but I'm not giving you details. I'm giving you direction, Abraham, but I'm not going to give you details. And this is how God does it. I said, this is how God does it, church. Many of you are waiting on God to just drop you a set, drop you a map, drop you directions, put a pen on it with markings and detail of how your life is going to be laid out. That is not how God does it. Amen. That is not how he does it. He will give you a certain direction, and then he will give you the steps. The Bible says in Psalm 37, 23, the steps of a righteous man. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. It does not say the long journey. It does not say the long destination. Come on, somebody. It says the steps. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. It's one step at a time. Everything is connected. One step at a time. Everything is connected when you hear God's voice. Come on, church. It's one step at a time, and it's all connected when you hear God's voice. So God tells him, Abraham, he says, take him to a mountain that I will show you. How would you like for God to uproot you and tell you to take your kids, get in your car and take off, and I have no idea where you're going? I'll tell you when you get there. How would y'all like to do that? You would probably enjoy it. Could you imagine God saying, uproot your family, take your kids, take your family, get in your car, take off, and I'll tell you when you get there. Just go that way. He gave him direction, but he didn't give him no details. Just take off and go that way. That's what he told him. Just go. I'll tell you when you get there. That's like country directions, ain't it? Huh? That's like country directions. He said, here's what he said. He said, you're going over yonder. Have you ever read that in the Bible? Look at Genesis 22:5. Look at this. He said, we're going over yonder to worship. Come on, somebody. Come on, that's how y'all know God's from Alabama. That's how y'all know God's from Alabama. Let's go. He said, oh, we're going to go over yonder and worship the Lord. Come on, roll tide. Y'all act like this ain't country directions. We're going to go over yonder and worship. We're going to go to yonder mountain. Amen. I don't need country directions. And I'm from Alabama. Praise the Lord. I don't need country directions. I need a clear path of where you want me to go, God. I don't need you to just tell me get my car and go over yonder. Amen. I need clear directions. I need a path of where you want me to go. But God says, I rarely will give you the specifics. God does not give you the details. He said you walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. He said you walk by faith and not by sight. And it's all about you staying close enough to hear my voice when I tell you to do something. You walk by faith. It's not about the destination. It's about the journey. I said it's not about the destination. It's about the journey. Amen. I'm going to get you to that destination. We got that up here. I see it right here. He said, I'm going to get you to that destination. But it's not about the destination. Amen. It's about the journey. You're going to have to walk with me. I'm going to get you to your destination. I'm not going to give you the whole thing so you can just go and take off on your own. Oh, come on, somebody. He says, you got to walk with me the steps of you. I'm not going to tell you where you're going so you can just go and take off on your own, but you're going to need me for every single step of this journey that I'm taking you on that will lead you to your destiny and to your purpose. I'm not going to let you operate independent of me. Come on. If you want to do that, you're just going to go in circles. You work independent of Jesus, you're just going to go in circles. That's all you're going to do. You won't get to that high place that God has for you. Amen. But if you'll walk with me, day by day, I'll be that voice that will guide you to your destiny. Say amen, church. He said, I'll be that voice that guides you to your destiny. God doesn't give you details. He says you walk by faith. If you have too many facts, then you don't have no faith. I'm not going to give you the details. You walk by faith and not by sight. If I give you too many facts, then you're not going to have enough faith. He said, I'm going to take you to a place over yonder. It's not just about where you're trying to go. It's just over yonder. Amen. It's not about where you're trying to go, but the lessons are about you learning to hear his voice along the way. Church, it's not about the destination. It's about you learning to hear his voice on the journey. He's training Abraham through a test. He's training Abraham through this trial, and it's all about him hearing the voice of God. I've ordered your steps, step by step. Take another step. Take another step. Take another step. That's how God does it. It's not, he's not big on details. Amen. He says, step into the unknown so I can perform the impossible for you. Did you hear me? Take a step. Take a step. The steps of a righteous man. And he says, you keep taking those steps and you step into the unknown and I will perform the impossible for you. And as long as you are where it's safe for you in your comfort zone, you'll never experience the supernatural and the impossible. Amen. Amen. You stay where it's safe, you'll never experience it. What God's greatest challenge to you and I is to hear his voice and to step out of that comfort zone. And as soon as you do, you will confront the fear zone. You'll confront the fear zone that says, go back to the comfort zone. You hear me? Because the first zone that you have to step out of, listen to me very carefully, is the comfort zone. Then you step, and immediately you're introduced to the fear zone. Amen. Because you're unfamiliar. You don't know how it's going to work out. You don't know what to do. You've never been here before. You don't know where your provision's going to come from. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. And if you'll keep moving and you'll go from the comfort zone, you'll step into the fear zone, and you'll go from the fear zone and you'll step into the victory zone. You'll step into the success zone. You'll step into the I'm a winner zone. Come on, somebody. Just keep step by step, by step. Hallelujah. 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 Abraham, God said, go to that mountain over yonder. And when he gets to that mountain, he says, you and your son go yonder to worship. He said, you leave the servants, you leave the donkeys behind. And he says, while you walk with me, Abraham, I'll lead you and I'll guide you. Amen. Go to yonder mountain. He doesn't even tell him where it is. Have you ever had God speak to you and you see yourself and you can see and clearly you believe that that's where God called me to go? But what do? When you know where he's called you to go, but you don't understand where you are. What do you do? What do you do when you know what he's told you to do, but you don't understand where you are? When your word doesn't line up with what he's telling you to do. The question is, church, listen to me very carefully. Can you endure the silence while God says nothing? Can you endure the silence while God, he says nothing. He speaks when it's time to make a turn. He speaks and he's trying to teach you to hear with your inner ear. Amen. He's trying to teach you how to hear with that circumcised ear. And then the rest of the time, you have to walk by faith. Amen. Can you endure it when God is silent? That's why he said you walk by faith and not by sight. He got to that place that he had to hear God, and he took his son. They were 3 days off, the Bible says. The Bible says they were 3 days off. Well, how will I know when I get there, God? I mean, I need you to tell me exactly. He said, you're 3 days off. Just go over yonder and keep going. Well, how will you know? Let me tell you, women, women have this thing that they understand this point. Because women have an intuition when they're shopping. Come on. They'll go shopping, and a salesperson will come up to them, and they will say, can I help you? And they always say, well, at least Tara does. They always say, no, thank you. I'm just looking. Which really means leave me alone in a polite way. But if the salesperson is persistent, they will follow you. And they will say, if you tell me what you're looking for, I can show you where to go. With which my wife always says, when I find it, I'll know. Right? Women have this intuition. Listen to me. That's how God is. That's how God is. I don't know how to tell you in so many words, but listen to me. If you walk with God and he's with you and you are searching and you are asking him for his will of what college I should go to, of what person I should marry, what I should take, what opportunity should I get involved in, what should I do with my life, all I can tell you is that inner voice will say to you at the right times and the right steps of your life, I don't know, but I know this is right for me. Amen? It's that inner peace. It's that inner ear. When you know that it's right for you. Come on, somebody. You have peace about it. And can I tell you, boy, if you don't have peace, don't do it. Don't do it. I have people ask me, Pastor, I don't know if I should marry this guy. You obviously don't have no peace about it. You're crying to me. Don't do it. Amen. I don't know if he's around. Come on, I'm done. Move on. There's a place. Can I tell you that God had set up trials in Abraham's life? He set up trials in Abraham's life so he would hear the voice in crisis. Would you listen to me very carefully? God usually speaks clearest in darkest places. God speaks the clearest in darkest places. The closer Abraham got, listen to me, to his destiny, the further he had to get away from his history. The closer he got to his destiny, the further away he had to get from his history. He had to lose his history. Where God's taking you, you can't take everybody with you. Abraham said to the servants, he said, I want you to stay here. The servants stay here. The donkeys stay here. We're going there. He couldn't take everybody with him. He had to lose his history to get to his destiny. And there's some people that you can't take with you. Dedication requires separation. Don't fight being alone. Don't fight loneliness. Don't fight it, because that's where you will perfect the voice of God. The closer you get to God's will, the smaller the crowd gets. Paul was alone in a jail cell when he wrote the epistles. John was alone on the island of Patmos when he wrote Revelation. Jesus was alone in the garden when he won the battle over the flesh. Elijah was alone in the cave when he heard that still, small voice. It became a whisper, but he heard it, and he was all alone. Abraham and Isaac are the only ones there. They're the only ones there. He says, Isaac, put the wood on your back and let's climb this hill. And they climb that hill together. And we think that Isaac was a little child, but the truth is he was around 17 to 19 years old. If he wanted to resist the father, he could have resisted the father, but he willingly laid down his life. Amen. And when the father built an altar to sacrifice the son, because that's what God told him to do. He told him to take his son up on that mountain. He told him to build an altar. And he told him to kill his son and burn him in a sacrifice to him. He said, offer me a burnt offering. And he laid the boy down. The boy willingly laid down. He did not resist the father, who was over 100 years old. He could have resisted. It is a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ, who did not have to die on the cross. He could have called 10,000 angels down. He could have resisted the will of the father, but he submitted and he willingly laid his life down. Amen. And Abraham raises the knife. At what God had told him to do. Amen. And he's about to put the knife in his son's heart. And suddenly the voice of God comes to him a second time. This is so important. Look at Genesis 22:12. Don't lay your hand on the lad, he said. Stop, Abraham. Don't do it. And all of a sudden his hand is froze, because he's hearing another word. Stop, Abraham, don't do it. Now, God was the one that told me to do it. What do you mean, don't do it? I'm doing what you told me to do, God. Look at Matthew 4:4. But man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Listen to it. That proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's the proceeding word. If you don't get the proceeding word, meaning the now word, everybody say the now word, you will kill your future living off of what you heard yesterday. You will kill your future living off of what you heard yesterday. You can't make it off of what you heard back then. Amen. He needed the preceding word. That's why it's not enough to come to church and just hear a sermon. You have to read this book and it will speak to you. Amen. If you'll pray, God will speak to you. If you will develop a walk with God, as you walk with God. Because here's the whole point of this sermon. Listen to me. When his hand is raised up, what do you mean don't do this, God? You told me to do this. What do you mean don't do it? And God says, I don't need your son's blood. Your son's blood can't save nobody. I'm going to send my son, and his blood is what is going to save everybody. Listen. He said, it was never about your son. What was it about? Why did I do all of this? It was about your ear, Abraham. I was trying to develop your ear. I was trying to develop your ear, Abraham. It was always about your ear. It's about you developing it so you can hear new direction. Can I trust you enough to give you new direction? Can I trust you enough not to live in the past, that I can change your direction and you will hear me, that you're not so married to your past that you're going to kill your future? That you're not so married to the past that you will kill your future. God was speaking, and some of you are killing your future because you've grown deaf to his voice. God is speaking to you, and you're killing your future because you've grown deaf to his voice. Amen, church. God already knows who you're supposed to marry. God already knows what you're supposed to do. God already knows that you're going to fail. And if you're going to fail if you do what you think you can do. Amen. But he knows your giftings. The Bible puts it this way. Paul said in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the prize, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark, toward the goal of the high calling of Jesus. Meaning this is the highest thing that I can do with my life. This is the highest thing that I can do with my life. And God has put everything in me, and he's marked the high watermark way up here. Amen. Now, if I go with God, he's going to take me to my highest potential. The high mark. Come on, somebody. But if I don't, and I'm going to hit down here, and I'm going to hit down here, and I'm going to hit down here. Right? But here's where God saw you. The high mark of the calling of Jesus Christ. But I can't get there. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, leaning on my own understanding. I have to acknowledge him in all my ways. And then he will direct my path to the high mark. Come on. To the high mark. Amen. I can't get there acknowledging in my own way. It's never been about your son, Abraham. Listen to me. It's always been about your ear. I wanted to know if I could still speak to you under pressure. I wanted to know if I could give you direction in the middle of a trial and you still hear me. Because now I know that I've got your ear, Abraham. Huh? Now I know I've got your ear, Abraham. Now I know I can give you fresh instructions. I can give you new directions. I can give you the next step for your life, and you will be bold enough to do it. Amen. Amen. And that's all I ever needed from you. He said, I'll do the miracles. I'll do the multiplication. I'll do the successful things. I'll open the doors. I'll bring the provision. I just need you to hear me. Abraham, I just need you to hear me. God has a word now. The proceeding word now for you, church. He's got a word for you. If Abraham couldn't have heard, He would have killed his future because he couldn't hear the proceeding word of God. Amen. If he would not have heard that proceeding word of God, he would have killed his future. Look, don't kill your dreams because you've grown deaf to the voice of God. I said, don't kill your dreams because you've grown deaf to the voice of God. Amen. He starts to slay him. And God says, stop right there. He says, stop right there. It was never about your son. It was about your ear. I wanted to know if you could hear me. And the Bible says, listen carefully. Here's the amazing thing. This is the amazing thing. When he heard from God, instantly provision came. Look at Genesis 22, 13. When he heard from God, the Bible says, at that moment, Abraham lifted his eyes and he looked. And behind him, there was a ram caught in the thicket. Watch this. By its horns. Have you ever noticed that? You ever noticed that? He said, instantly, as soon as he heard from God, stop, Abraham, don't do it. Boom, provisions right there. Come on, instantly. He turns, he hears God, and provision is right there. Amen. Have you ever noticed it was caught by its horns? The horns are the part that the ram would use to resist you. But God tied up all the resistance to the resources. Come on. God had tied up all the resistance to the resources and all the provision that he has for you. Come on, somebody. He had it waiting. I want you to listen to me, church. God already has the provision you need to succeed. He's already got it over there to do well, and it's just tied up waiting on you. If you hear the voice of God and you do what God says when he tells you to, your provision's already tied up over there, and it cannot resist you. The jobs are there. The opportunities are there. The money is there. Your provision is already there when he's got your ear. Amen. Your provision is already there. Stop. Boom. There it is. Amen. Hallelujah. It's all dependent on you hearing his voice. And I know what I'm preaching about right here. Because we started this with nothing. We started this with nothing. And I'm telling you, we've watched God meet every need of this ministry. God is moving through this church, and all we've got is this right here. It's all we got, the proceeding word of God. And he's met every need of this ministry. Turn to somebody and say, my, what big ears you have. Oh, come on, turn to your neighbor and say, my, what big ears you got. If you'll hear God, God will send you to college and pay for it. If you'll hear God, he'll start the business and you'll succeed. If you hear God, he'll help you get a house and you can pay for it. If you hear God, he'll bless your family and generations to come. If you'll hear God, you'll start a church and build a brand new building in Mottville. Come on. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These young people need to hear this. He's still Jehovah Jireh. He's still Jehovah Jireh, and he will provide. If you're hearing from him, the money's already tied up for you. Come on, isn't that amazing? What has he already got tied up for you on the other side of your trial? Just wondering if you'll hear me. Will you move at my word? Will you walk with me? Will you stay uncluttered enough and not get so distracted that I got your ear? That you'll listen to me in the midst of the chaos and you'll stay in tune with my voice? Because you do everything I tell you, I will supply all your needs. Amen. Come on.